Recommend two books that folks might be interested in if you would like to take this down. One is by Harry Ironside and the other is by William Newell. I'm glad that they have been made available again. The first one is Romans and Galatians, and the author is Harry Ironside, HARRYIRONSIDE, Harry Ironside. Good old brethren man, Christian brethren man. Anyone read a book by Dr. Harry Ironside? Oh, look at the hands going up. It's like a wheat field. Yes. It's Harry Ironside has the reputation. He has a commentary on every book in the Bible. He has a reputation of not using words more than two syllables. He goes very, very deep. Okay, the next one is Romans verse by verse. And the author is William R. Newell, N-E-W-E-L-L. These are two from way back in the 1940s and 50s that are reprints, and they'd be very helpful. We can recommend other material, but there's a mixture of things and so on, and they're quite helpful. William Newell was from Moody Bible Institute, a teacher there. I'm pretty sure he's the author of the song Yes, Living He Loved Me, and also Grace Was There, Was Multiplied to Me. What's that one? Mercy There. Years and Vanity and Pride. And the story, at Calvary. The story goes, he's walking down the corridor of Moody Bible Institute, ready to give a lecture, and it all came on him, as it often does with us genies. It all came on him, the hymn, and then he just went into a classroom and he wrote down the words. He'd just been preaching about God's grace. Oh, the love that drew salvation's plan. He's just preaching about that, and he wrote that hymn. That's a lovely hymn, isn't it? All right, let's finish this up in 5 minutes. God's freedom now, point four. God's freedom in the election of Israel. God has a sovereign freedom. Verse 14, what shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? Certainly not. He says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor of him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. And then we have the example of Pharaoh. You know, we often think because we're alive, we've got a claim on God. Because we're alive, you know, we've got a claim. Of course, we can go to God in faith. But we do have to remember that he's the creator and we're the creature. He has his plans and we're part of that plan. He doesn't raise us up as pawns so that he just pushes us here, pushes us there. There is an interaction between God and humans, but he is sovereign in the end. He's not going to initiate a plan that is going to be totally hopeless. He is not going to pull the plug and destroy the universe. It was a mess. What do we do? It's a mess. No, through the evil, God will come out victor, and he will be great because of the extension of his grace. So the case of Pharaoh is raised, and someone has said, poor old Pharaoh, he just couldn't do anything else but be disobedient to God. No. If you read Exodus chapter 3, you find God said to Moses at the burning bush, I know God will resist me. And then is the right to deal with that man. And as he hardens his heart against God, so God hardens his heart, and God raises him up as an example of his glory in judgment. God doesn't just get glory in salvation, but he also gets glory in justice. Are you satisfied when you see justice done? Yeah. It's a reflection of the image of God, yes. Of course, there can be mercy in judgment. I had a friend whose son was shot in Penshurst years ago. They caught the murderer, and the father of his son who was shot said, I want to speak to the man who shot my son. Forgive him and tell of the forgiveness there is in Christ. Justice is done. Young lady was on death row in the Philippines. Came to Christ. He said, I know my just reward is to be executed. That's justice. But I'm immediately going to go and be with the Lord. Okay. So there is glory in justice. And so we have this with the case of Pharaoh, sovereign hardening in judgment, with Pharaoh representing the Egyptians, demonstrates Israel's rejection and hardening in Paul's day and today. It is all working out to God's purpose. Then there's the illustration of the potter, the power of the potter, the potter's work. From the same lump of clay, two possible outcomes, one vessel for honour, the other for dishonour. But I'm suggesting to you that as we read that, you see this here in Romans chapter 9, verse 20. But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will the thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay from the same lump to make one vessel for honour and another for dishonour? What if God, wanting to show his wrath and to make his power known, endure with much long suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, that he might make known the riches of his glory on vessels of mercy, and so on and so on. Now this potter and the clay, all expositors are agreed that it's based on Jeremiah 18. So in other words, those who knew the scriptures, Jewish people who knew the scriptures and Gentiles who came to know the scriptures would know that there is a reference to this and a reflection of it in Jeremiah chapter 18, verses 5 to 12. But notice the context. Would you all turn to it, please? And I will ask you a question. Jeremiah chapter 18. This is in point 5 of our notes, the power of the potter. I will read it to you. I think it is profitable to read it. And I'd like you to give me the context. I want you to determine whether it is speaking about an individual person or whether it's speaking about a group. We do that? Yeah, you can answer in your own mind if you like. Jeremiah 18:1. The word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house. And there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel he had made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Then the word of the Lord came to me, saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the hand, in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. The instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom, to pluck up and to pull down and to destroy it, if that nation against whom I have spoken turns from its evil, I will relent of the disaster that I thought to bring upon it. And the instant I speak concerning a nation and concerning a kingdom to build and to plant it, if it does any evil in my sight so that it does not obey my voice, then I will relent concerning the good with which I said I will benefit. Now therefore, speak to the men of Judah and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, saying, thus saith the Lord, behold, I am fashioning a disaster and devising a plan against you. Return now everyone from his evil way, etc. In the original context, do we have a person here or do we have people? We have a people, do we not? The house of Israel that is on the potter's wheel.